Hey everybody, this is Ash.
And I'm Sam.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to the Ash and Sam Experience. Okay, so today's episode, this week's episode is going to be about the Hungarian serial killer Bella Kiss. Now, I was kind of blown away about this whole situation. Because one, I never heard of it.
I haven't either.
And I'm a big crime buff. So, like I said, I'm bringing it to y'all. This is like an Ash exclusive, okay? So, we're going to jump right into it. So, here we go. Bella Kiss was born on July 28th, 1877 in Isaac, Austria, Hungary, to parents Janice Kiss and Verona Varga. All right. Little is known about his upbringing, but we do know that he was very highly intelligent, and even though he had no formal schooling, he was very, very, very smart, so he can mingle with the higher social circles.
So basically, just not book smart, but street smart, kind of.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
So Bella was described as a handsome man. He was handsome, with blonde hair and blue eyes, and he loved to read. And he was very conversant in art, literature, and history. So again, with no formal schooling, he can hang with the big boys pretty much. Okay. He did earn his living as a tinsmith, in which he did teach himself. But he also dabbled in astrology and had a keen interest in the occult, which is never good.
I mean, if he used it right, I'm sure.
Maybe.
But I'm sure he did not.
He married a woman named Marie, who was 15 years younger than he was.
Oh.
And when they moved to 9 Casa Street in the outskirts of Cincota, and that's spelled Cincota, which I don't know where they got the ch from, but that's fine. She had a wandering eye. So, and she often set her sights on younger men. So, again, she was a cougar in her own right. Weeks after she moved with her husband to Cincota, she met a man named Paul Beccari, who became her lover.
Oh, man. This is going to end well, I'm sure.
Of course. So, now, she didn't keep none of this on the DL. She was just like, you know what? Forget it. And I have a husband. So, we just going to... You know,
I'm sure she was so brazen. She got away with it and just got more and more likes. Like, I mean, nobody's saying anything, so let me do me and let's just go.
Around December of 1912, Kiss told his neighbors that his wife ran away with Paul. So,
I did not see that coming. Shocker.
What? Listen.
She found her a young stud.
A young Cinerama.
Bye. Right? Anyways.
Found her a little side piece. So, you know, say she was loving the thrill of it.
Right.
And she said, you know what? Old Kiss, I gotta go. Oh, Lord. Okay. So his wife left him. Mm-hmm. So, after his wife left him, Bella decided he needed a little housekeeper. So, he hired Mrs. Jakubek. Now, Mrs. Jakubek, when I tell you, is the most oblivious person on this planet.
She was just trying to get her paycheck. She's not even worried about
she
what
worried.
He's doing right. In his own spare time.
Right. She's not worried about what is going on around her.
As long as he has that paycheck on Friday, he can do whatever.
Okay. So now that he's a single man, old Kiss is loving the bachelor lifestyle. So he has all types of women over. They're all attractive and well-dressed as per the time. But the weird thing about it is, a lot of women were coming, but none were leaving.
Okay, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's not rush to conclusions. Maybe let's say that, you know, they were sneaking out in the midst of the night so they didn't, you know, get caught. Because back then, a lady had to hold a certain standard. So let's play devil's advocate, not rush, and just be like, listen, she got in, got out. That's all. He was young, a bachelor. So keep going.
But she got in, got out. She had on her hat over her face with a scarf.
We don't need to know about walks of shame. I'm sure everybody's had one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Around the time that his wife ran away with her boo thing, Kit started having large metal drums delivered to his house.
Like everyone does.
Do-do.
I mean.
He started getting strange looks from the neighbors. Obviously, he was getting strange looks. But he soothed their consciences with an explanation of, oh, I'm just stockpiling fuel. In case we have a whole war out here in these streets, please believe that they will be, I'm going to ration everything out to everybody, okay?
Well, I mean, okay, he's a hero, ladies man, hero, good employer. I mean, I don't see the problem as of yet. So,
as of yet.
I mean, he's a hero, so keep going. Let's see.
At this time, so two detectives were making inquiries into the disappearances of two widows by the name of Schmeidick and Varga. They informed their families that they were going to see a man named Hoffman.
Whoa, where did he come from?
Just some random man named Hoffman. Some rando. And in the same little town of Chincata, okay? Mm. So, detectives did a small investigation as, you know, into the disappearances and concluded that Mr. Hoffman has disappeared as well without a trace. So he gone into the shadow realm somewhere. And so there have been no leads or clues as to where he is. He is just gone. Okay. So that's three people who were just gone and nothing. Setting the scene. Picture it, Sicily, 1922.
Wait a minute. This is a true crime, not Golden Girls. Back it up.
Yeah, I'm going to back it up to...
We're not in Sicily, we're in Hungary.
Right, and we're just going to back it up to 1914. July 28, 1914, World War I has started, and the world is in turmoil. November of 1914, 4 months after WW1 has started, Kiss got drafted. It's every man's nightmare. Some men's nightmares, okay? He had to go to the forefront as soon as he was sworn in. He had to get a uniform and a gun, and they just let him out into the world, like, go get him, Tiger.
Well, I mean, I could see how it'd be kind of nerve-wracking, because you're over here living your best bachelor life, and all of a sudden you're called into the front lines, like, okay.
Okay, so while Kiss is off playing Army Man, Call of Duty, feel me? He left his home to Mrs. Jackie Beck. So, you know, just to take care of, you know. And this is when all the craziness starts.
Do tell.
Right here. June 1917. Soldiers were in search of, that's 3 years after Kiss has gone off to war. June of 1917, soldiers were in search of stockpiled fuel. And they come across the village constable. And he remembers, oh, you know what? That boy Kiss, he got some fuel. He told everybody he got fuel at his house.
And this is where he saves the day, right?
No.
Okay.
And no. He takes the soldiers to Kiss's house. And, you know, Miss old stale face Jackie Beck, she opened the door like, what y'all need? What do y'all need? So after they talked to Miss Jackie Beck and said, oh, you know, we're here to look for fuel. We have intel that Kiss was stockpiling fuel. We need
for
this
just
fuel.
This situation.
We just for just this very situation, we need to get in there and get it. Because, you know, we need to fill our trucks and blah, blah, blah. Mrs. Jackie Beck, as I said, was still facing. She was like, you know what? I don't think so. You can leave. But they convinced her after much talking. They
well, I'm sure
her.
There's a war going on, I'm sure.
Right. They convinced her, and she reluctantly let them in and showed them to the cellar where he was keeping the fuel.
Okay. So this is where he saves the day.
And no. Oh, yet again.
Yet I'm intrigued.
Again.
Get to it. Let's get to it.
They're trudging down into the cellar. It's dark and dank.
Of course, because cellars and attics and basements, I don't go. They're all dank, dark and dank.
Exactly. So they went to this dark and dank cellar. So they lit their little kerosene lamps and they trudge on down there. They see several drums in the cellar.
That's good news, right? Okay,
yes,
I'll stop asking.
No. Please stop asking.
I just want to know.
Okay, so they see all these large drums, and the tops have been tightly welded onto the drums. So, you know. So, the constable, he got excited, and he was like, you know what? See, I told y'all, Kiss got the goods. He got the goods. So, they're trying to figure out how to get into these drums. And so he takes this long spiked rod. Who in the hell carries a spiked rod with them?
Well, maybe it was already in the attic and he just pulled it, or the cellar.
No, he had it on his person.
You know, back in the day, they just carried whatever they had.
Just in case they need to stab some real
times quick. Were rough.
Because they just need to stab some one time. So he pulls this big, long spiked rod to see if there's diesel or petrol inside of the drum. They take the rod, puncture the drum, and then all of a sudden they smell this horrible, putrid smell, and they automatically knew it was DK.
Okay, that escalated real quick,
That went from 0 to 99.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I know.
It went from 0 to 666 real quick.
Ooh.
Yes.
Got it.
So, they pierced the side of the drum. This horrible decomposition smell filled the whole entire cellar.
Okay.
I would have been thrown up.
Oh, for sure.
I would have probably threw up, but then I would have been intrigued at the same time.
So I'm over here cowering in the back, and you're like, okay, after I throw up, I'll be right there.
I'm okay. So after they smell this horrible smell, they were like, you know what? I'm going to leave it up into the hands of the proper authorities. We're going outside. I'm not dealing with this. Miss Jackie Beck, you better call somebody right now. So,
not my pay grade.
This is above my pay grade, okay? This is beyond me.
Listen, I was just here for some oil. My cab's here. I gotta get back. I'm fixing to clock out 5 minutes. I don't need no overtime. I'm good.
I'm okay. That's fine. They contact the proper authorities. And this is one of the big players in this game. Chief Carolee Nargi. And his name is, this is a guy. So it's Karoly. Carolee. Which is kind of cute. Race to the scene with a couple of his fellow detectives. Here comes Miss Jackie back again. Which I need.
You were there when we found something.
There's something dead. D-E-D. In the basement. In the cellar.
Like way past dead. Right. It's just D-E-D.
D-E-D-D. Okay? It is dead. She over here like, which I need. So she's like, I don't want no intrusion. Because, you know,
this isn't my house.
You know, this is not my house. It's my duty to keep my employer's belongings safe. Again, there is something dead in your cellar. What do you mean?
Right. If I work for somebody and they found that in the cellar, I'd be like, listen, I'll leave the keys for you. Just shut it up when you're done because I'm out of here.
And this is
who again, am I working for?
And then I'm like, you know, again, this is above my pay grade. So I got to go. So the detectives, they just say, you know what, Miss Jackie Beck, move out the way. Just move, okay? They push past her, and they proceeded to the cellar. So, obviously, you know, if you don't go down to the cellar, and they literally told you there's something dead down there. Everybody has a cloth or something over their nose. And then they started to pry off the lids, the tightly welded lids off these drums. This is the part where this separates
trigger
me.
Trigger
warning. It's gonna get kind of gross, okay? This is where it separates me from you, because you would have been back thrown up out of
the I wouldn't have even been the sailor. I would have been like, listen, I'm gonna keep guard up top. Let me know if y'all need a drink of water or whatever.
And I would have been like, I would have been there like waiting, like
pushing, looking
like,
at everything.
No, ooh. Like a sitting there perched like a griffin, just I'm just waiting. Okay, so they got the lid off of this drum, and when they peered down into the drum, staring back up at them was a partially rotted face of a young lady.
Nope.
With long brown hair. What's going on is basically, and I've heard the term for this when this story as pickled.
Yeah.
Pickled.
Oh.
So basically, they used alcohol to preserve the body. The girl's head was above the alcohol level, so that's what the smell was, because
right.
her face was rotting off.
Right.
They, I mean, like, her head was above that line, so the rest of her body was good.
Listen, anybody in any kind of medical field, first responders, soldiers, whoever,
mm-hmm.
that has to deal with this stuff, kudos to y'all, because I would be on the floor somewhere crying in the fetal position. Or can you imagine, take a second, or don't, because this is kind of gross, but you're just doing your 9-to-5. You go in, you know, with the detectives. Maybe you're just a cop or whatever. And I'm not just saying just a cop, because cops are important. But I'm just saying you're not a detective or anything like this. You're just going for your duty. And they open this barrel, and something's staring at you that's half rotten and half, what you said, pickled.
Right. Just.
I don't think so.
You can just. Peering down into the...
And something's looking at you, Ron, looking like the walking dead.
Yeah, exactly. Something's staring back at you in your good eye.
Listen,
you know, your other one's wonky.
None of my eyes would be good, because I would be on the floor.
I would have to throw that sheet on you. Just let her sit there. Just let her sit there, please.
I guarantee you I would quit my job and become an ice cream salesman or something. Something that's sunshine and flowers. Does not me. Anyway, so they come down there and they
okay, so
find
they,
everything.
Yeah, they find her and they find the cause of death, which is strangulation, because there was a cord wrapped around her neck.
Oh, gosh.
And y'all, that will be a horrible way to die. I'm going to tell you why that would be a horrible way to die. Just feeling like you're suffocating would suck, because you can feel your life force just draining out.
Oh, and it's up close and personal. You have to sometimes look at your killer. Depending on if they're chicken, you know.
Right.
If they're a piece of garbage and do it from behind or...
Yeah. It's just, they say strangulation and also stabbing is the most up close and personal way to die.
Right.
Because usually you know that person.
Right.
Like you really know that person, or you kind of know them.
Because
and
it's not a quick kill.
It's not.
You know, it takes how long? Like 7 minutes or something like that?
I think it's anywhere from 5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
not quick.
I mean, and it's like,
and you have to keep like continuous pressure.
Yeah, unless you're really strong and you can just really just hold it there.
Yeah.
Ugh, I can't. Ugh, God,
not a way I would like to go.
I know. Just shoot me
or not. I mean,
just pop me. Just pop me one time. I think I'll be okay. Okay, so now they open the first one. There are 6 more drums in the cellar. 6.
Please tell me there's oil in at least one.
Baby, no.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no, ma'am. So, there are 6 more new bodies of women in each of these drums. So, Mrs. Jackie Beck, with her again, she stated that she had no clue that any of this was going on or what the drums were being used for. If you work for somebody, and I will say this to the day I die, if you work for... I'm putting myself in that position. If I worked for Bella Kiss Baby and he was gone for 3 years, I'd have been all over the house looking at everything. What is this? When did he get dead? Like, you know, I'd have been all, I'm so nosy. See, that's why I need to be a detective, because I'm nosy. And I'll just be like,
well,
I'm so
equipped. Well, I think it's self-preservation, too. Like, who am I working for?
Yes.
You know, you got to know somewhat of who you're working for.
Exactly.
And I get it. Like, if you work at a standard job where you go there 9-to-5, I could get not knowing anything about your boss because you go there. But if you work in somebody's house
exactly.
and you go there alone with this person, heck yeah, I'm going to be looking just for drugs, paraphernalia, like anything I can hit. Bodies.
Hidden money. Listen.
So what did she think that was happening this whole time?
She, in her mind, she's assuming that he's using these drums to store illicit liquor for his little lady friends, okay? And she said that it was none of her business what they were being used for. So basically, you know those memes, if blank was a person, this person right here, if that ain't none of my business was a person, that is her 110%, okay?
There's only two things, like, that could be happening right now. She either could be literally like, I'm just trying to get my change and move on. Or, like, I don't know, I'm just trying to do my 9-to-5 and go home and work on my house or feed, you
right.
know, all
feed
the stuff. Or, I feel like she might have been in, you know, might have had something to do with it. Because there's no way you can be working there for that long and not suspect
and not
something.
Know something. That's what I'm saying. Like, she was, like, oblivious to anything that was going on, and I just did not believe it. I was like, "Is you have to do like you worked there for probably what
at least
4 years, at least 4 years,
yeah,
and you don't know nothing,
right?
You, oh, you know, that's a okay. So a search began. Obviously, a search begins on the home and the wooded area around the home. There's no shock here, y'all. They found more bodies, okay? They found more bodies. Some of the bodies were in drums, and some were actually buried. Now, the ones that were buried, they said that they were in good preservation because they've been preserved beforehand, before they were buried. Most of the bodies were still recognizable, so they were basically free from decay. And then we have the ones in the drums. Now, which I think is so stupid on Bella's part, because, like, why would you do that? If you're going to kill him, just bury him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe he was thinking about the smell. Maybe he just don't want the smell to permeate. So he didn't know that it was going to preserve it when it happened.
Right.
He just didn't want people to get suspicious because, oh, what is that? Like, I hear once you smell a dead body, like, you know what it is.
Right.
No matter how much potpourri or how much, you know, you put under or whatever, you know what it is.
Right. It's, I just think
so. I mean, I think that's a little bit of karma, if you ask me.
Right, exactly. Amongst the victims that were found, they found Marie and old Paul.
Oh, I did not see that coming.
They found old Paul.
So I'm guessing they didn't run away.
They ran into the shadow realm. That's where they ran to. Ran to the shadow realm. That's exactly where they went to. And Paul was the only male victim out of all the bodies. And you already know that's his first kills.
I think he got the bug. I think he got away with it.
And then he was like,
and then he was like, he got the taste for it. He was like, ooh.
I said, let me just
keep
doing
it. That thrill kill. I don't think it was for anything other than the thrill. He did his wife in and her lover and then told everybody that she skipped town and then was like,
like, you know what?
You're right. I'm sorry for you. Probably got sympathy, you know, and in those little ads that he put in, he probably was like, you know, my wife left me. That's a good story. Like, you would feel for somebody like that.
Right.
So, of course, since he gets away with it, he's like, oh, bloodthirsty.
So bloodthirsty. Oh, Lord. Okay, so grand total. You got 17 bodies from the area around the house, plus another 7 in the cellar. So you got a whole total of 24 bodies.
Good Lord.
Just a graveyard. It's just... After Chief Nargi found all those bodies at Kiss's house, he went and telegrammed the military to tell them to locate and arrest Kiss immediately. Because of the number of bodies that they found, Chief Nargi was convinced that he had an accomplice, okay? Because it ain't no way.
Listen, I already told you The housekeeper.
I'm telling you, he was like, it ain't a way that he could kill all those people, bury them, pickle them, or whatever, and not have any help. He was like, you know what? Hey, I need y'all to withhold any messages for Bella Kiss, just in case he had an accomplice and he didn't want Kiss knowing that he's about to get caught up and get arrested. Chief Nargi also concluded that Mrs. Jacobet had absolutely no clue, that she literally knew nothing about what Kiss was doing, and which I still don't understand. I still don't believe that.
I don't know. Maybe he was like, oh, she's a woman. She had nothing to do with this.
Child boo. She probably was a...
She told him about pickling. You know, she probably had a garden.
But after Chief Nargi concluded that she knew nothing about this, about the murders, she revealed that he had a secret room.
Of course.
Located in his bedroom. So even though they searched the whole bedroom, they got kind of mad because they were like, okay, she's playing us for a fool. So we searched his whole room and we didn't find no secret room in here. But she goes in there and she points to a curtain that's on the wall. And behind that curtain, there's a door.
And that is why I believe she had something to do with this. Because one, if anybody's a housekeeper and somebody says, hey, I have a secret room, don't go in it, and they've been gone for 4 years, you know every able body is going to check out that secret room to know exactly what they're working with.
I'm telling you.
Two, if it was a secret room and she was an accomplice, then why would she know about there being a secret room? Because when they walk into it, it's going to be dusty and dank and like nobody's been in there. So it's not like she cleans it. So why would she need to know about this room?
Exactly. Because
so if somebody I'm working with has a secret room, I'm going in.
I'm rifling through papers. I'm looking in books. I'm checking in drawers. I don't care. I'm sitting in the chair that's in there.
Because either you got a murderer or a Christian Grey. Either one of them I need to know.
So they're in this room. Mrs. Jackie Beck is like, oh, you know, there's a secret room over there behind the curtain. And looky here, I got the key. Oh, God. Why? Like, you knew the whole time you had this. Even before they started searching the room, she should have just told them, hey, there's a secret room in the room. So no,
okay. When they found the bodies in the cellar, that's when she could be like, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, listen. Like after they found the bodies
and they're starting
to search, she should have just told them, hey, there is a secret room in the room, just so they, you know, stop wasting.
Yeah, because I would want to know, like, oh, if that's in there, even if I was oblivious and, right, she didn't know, I would still be like, oh, you found this? Hold on. Let's see what's in this behind door number two.
Exactly. And like I said, just stop wasting people's time. Waste my time 2020 is no. Stop wasting people's time when it comes to investigations. Like, that makes me so mad. People, like, they're doing this big investigation, and then they're just sitting there withholding information that could help solve a crime.
Right.
And it's like why
like
are you doing
that?
Like,
5 weeks down the road when nothing happened. Like, oh, well, I saw her hop in a red car with Pizza Hut on the side.
Like, why didn't you say that in the beginning? Like, that's so stupid.
And it solves the case the next day.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, we could have solved this case 5 weeks ago if you had just told me in the beginning what you saw or what you heard or, you know. Just
so what was in this room of horrors? So, more bodies? God, I hope not.
No bodies. So after she produced this old-fashioned key, she said that Bella told her to never go in the room or let anyone in the room under any circumstances. So when the room was open, it was musty and it was windowless. It was just a closet, but like a big ass closet, like a big walk-in closet.
Yeah.
So there was a large desk, there was an old chair in there, and there was several bookcases lined with books. When they opened the desk drawer, there was a large volume of letters in this drawer between Kiss and various women, random women, randos, okay? And this also included a photo album with over 100 women which the police thought might be more victims. So that would have been like a lot of bodies.
And if not victims, like people, can you imagine knowing, like, if you met up with this guy, like say you went on a Tinder date or whatever, and things didn't work out, and then all of a sudden hear on the news that all these bodies were on, you know, found at this place, and you'd be like, that would run me for the rest of my life.
Yes.
I got away, but. And then survivor skill, being thankful because you didn't get caught up.
Yeah, exactly. It's eye-opening. It really is.
Yeah.
Especially, like, now, like, in this day and time, like, you literally have no clue of, like, how many times you escape death.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you go on a date with somebody that you don't, like, that time you went with that guy, and he was like so rude to you. He was like so incredibly rude to you, and then you were just like, oh my god, I gotta get out of this situation.
Oh, and it went on, and I told, yeah, I would just think that it would be survivor's guilt for sure, because you go to this man's house, or it could be just more body counts, you know, they just may not have, you know where he put him. So it's just a scary thought.
It really is a scary thought.
Like, you put yourself out there, you know, dating is scary.
Right. It's just like you are putting yourself out there. You're vulnerable. You're trying to find love and everything. And it's like, again, you don't know how many times you have escaped death, because like, You go on a date with somebody, then all of a sudden, like the next time,
kill
somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Like my horror date, whenever I met this guy online, which there's nothing wrong with. You just gotta be careful. And he gets to the house, and it's kind of creepy, anyways. So we get in the car, and we're leaving. The whole time, instead of driving, he's staring at me, and not just like, oh, I think you're pretty, but like, I want to wear your skin, kind of.
Oh my god.
Creepy. So we pull over and we stop and we eat. And the whole time I'm in the bathroom and I'm calling my sister-in-law and I'm like, I don't know if I could do this. And she's like, oh, just give it a chance. You know, maybe it's just the awkward first meeting. And I'm like, okay, you're right. So I go back and things are going bad and we get to the car. And I think to myself, Lord, if this is not meant to be, give me a sign. And I kid you not, I tried to put on my seatbelt and it wouldn't. Like, it was like stuck. It wouldn't pull across. And he looks at me and goes, oh, that's never happened before. And I was like, listen, I heard you loud and clear. I'm getting out of here. So I was like, please take me to Walmart. And he's like, Why do you need to go to Walmart? You just went to the bathroom. Because I said I had to go to the bathroom. And I was like, please just take me. So he pulls over, he takes me. I'm in the bathroom hiding at Walmart thinking, how am I going to get home?
And she's calling me. And she's like, oh my God, this is a absolute freaking nightmare.
Yeah. And another sign, I walk out of the bathroom and my dad is standing there checking out. And he was like, oh, we just came home from Galveston. We were just going to get a few things before we head home. And if that's not a sign, like, listen, ladies, gentlemen, whomever, listen to signs. Don't let yourself be in a position to make yourself vulnerable. Have friends, have family you contact with. Make sure you know that this person is legit before you come. You might not can tell the crazy, but at least do a little bit of search before. Like, just make sure you have your P's and Q's so you're not ended up pickled in somebody's yard somewhere.
I'm telling you. Okay, so basically what's going on is that they found most of the letters, and most of the letters were carefully filed and dated, which that's kind of psychopathic, but it's fine.
Right.
His places personal ads in various newspapers looking for marriage, okay?
I think that's funny, too. Like, we have Tinder and Plenty of Fish and all the Bumble and stuff.
And they had Lonely Hearts columns.
They literally wrote in columns like, single white female looking for a stud. I need somebody to plow my fields.
Oh my God, why?
Literally and figuratively.
Okay, so Bella had received 174 marriage proposals. And out of the 174, 74 of the women, he actually offered marriage. And he kept corresponding with them. Basically, Kiss was an entire con artist, okay? He was defrauding women of their savings and property. Some of the letters that they found were dated back as far as 1903, which means he's been defrauding women since before he met his wife, like way before he met his wife. And what trips me out is like, do you think she was like one of the victims of the fraud? You know what I'm saying? Like, was she a victim of the fraud? But he just went ahead and married her. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe she started out to be that and he kind of took a liking. Yeah. And then whenever she started running around, he was like,
you know what? I should have killed you.
Right.
I should have taken
your money and done away with you.
Exactly. The detectives were sitting in the room for a good while. So they took a break from reading all the letters and going through all the stuff in the drawer. He noticed all the books that were on the shelves. And he was like, yeah, he's a whole lot of books on poison and strangulation. So he was like, I think I know what he's been doing all these years. He was like, you know, I think I figured out his MO. Kiss would answer the ads that he placed. And he would pretend to be a wealthy widower. That's such a hard word to say. And just flaunt his wealth, you know, so you just shower them with gifts and, you know, money and attention and whatever, just to lure them in. Then he will also inquire if they had close relatives, mom, dad, sister, brother. And then if he actually discovered that they had close relatives, then he was just like, okay, bye, I gotta go. And like never speak ghost to them again, yeah. Just ghost them. Just never speaks to them again. Just, nah, that's okay. So by the time they discovered Kiss's MO, there was a breakthrough in the identities of some of the victims. So they found the initials KV, that's Kite Victor, stitched on some clothing in one of the barrels, I think. But I'm not sure if it was just in the barrel itself with the victim or they were actually wearing the clothes, because I know some of the victims were nude. So they linked those initials to a Mrs. Catherine Varga. So Mrs. Varga was a widow. I'm not sure as to how her husband died, but she was also an owner of a successful dressmaking business in which she sold, stupidly, sold. So she can go be with Kiss. He gave her a marriage proposal. You're dumb. It's no way in hell. If I have a successful business and it's bringing me wealth, like continuous wealth, if it's a continuous paycheck, I'm not selling my business for nothing. Not even to just...
Well, he was a con artist, so he could have been like, I'm wealthy.
You know, you so need- we...
Yeah.
We can do this. You know?
We can speculate that he was like, oh, I'm wealthy. You don't even have to work again. You can just retire and live in this lap of luxury. And then she ends up strangled and pickled.
D-E-D. Done. They actually found other items found with the victims that were linked to another woman by the name of Julianne Poshock. So Mrs. Poshock, along with a... Miss Camaromi, Elizabeth Camaromi, according to some old court records, they had actually sued Bella Kiss for fraud. So basically, they sued him because he took their money on the promise of marriage, which I'm just like...
Times must have had to be different. Then, can you imagine nowadays somebody that you're on a website or dating site with being like, hey, put your money with mine. We're going to get married. It's fine. I would be like,
no.
No.
Like, no.
I mean, even nowadays, it's normal to even have separate bank accounts,
yeah,
even if you are married. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but
yeah.
I'm not sending, especially somebody that you've been writing to and you don't know.
Could be ugly as sin, but...
I mean, times were rough back then. I don't think they had a choice. As long as he had an ox and a house, I'm sure.
Right.
It was fine.
But yeah, it's just, but they had sued him because he took their money and he promised them marriage. But since the two women never showed up to court, the lawsuits lapsed. And so he was never charged with anything. Another victim, Margaret Toth, visited Kiss at his home in 1906. He forced Margaret to write a letter to her family, stating that she could not bear the absolute shame of being rejected by Bella Kiss, okay? And she was going to go off and immigrate to America like her sister did before and start a whole new life. Shortly after she finished writing the letter, Kiss strangled her, and then he just calmly picked the letter up and mailed it.
Ugh.
Picked it up, licked it, sent it off.
And she would have had to know that she was fixing to die. Can you imagine having to write a letter?
That sucked.
Yeah.
That just the thought that she wrote a letter, and that's her final letter.
To her family.
To her family.
And couldn't say what she wanted to say.
Exactly, because he's looking over her shoulder,
right,
reading everything. That was sucks on that. On October 4th, 1916, Chief Margaret received a telegram from a Serbian hospital stating that Bella Kiss had died from typhoid. So for everybody who doesn't know what typhoid is, I had to look it up again because I forgot what it was. But it's a bacterial disease spread through food and water contaminated with infected fecal matter. That is disgusting. I don't know.
Well, back in the day, they didn't really have refrigerators and
stuff like that. That's
so
true.
It could have just been like,
just
hey,
out.
I pooped in this cup. Let me rinse it real quick and use it again.
Exactly. They said that Kiss died in 1915, so a year before. He received another telegram stating that it was a mistake. It was a complete mistake, and that he was much alive and that he was at the hospital. Nargi got up so fast and he went to the hospital as quickly as he could and so he can get there and arrest him. But when he got there, the man that was in Kiss's bed was dead. He was gone, okay? Beyond help. Kiss somehow, I don't know how, but somehow he must have got word that he was about to get arrested. And he took a recently expired person and put him in his bed. It was a soldier. And put him in the bed and just fled. So,
okay, hear me out. I bet it was the nanny. I mean, not the nanny, but the housekeeper.
Oh,
that
told
let him know.
Yeah.
And I bet that person recently died because I bet he got smothered.
Bet. That's good.
Because how are you going to just stumble upon somebody that just died?
Right. And I'm telling you now that you got to think about it. I bet you it was her.
Listen, I got you, detective. No, probably not, because I'm the type of person that watches a detective show and I accuse every dang person that comes up, like, oh, she did it. Oh, no, he did it. Okay, they all did it together. And then it was somebody irrelevant.
It was somebody just random. But
I mean, that makes sense. Like,
it makes sense.
She knew everything prior. Mm-hmm. She had to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, all of a sudden, she knows that, or
yeah,
he knows that they're coming for him.
Yeah,
she probably had an ear to the door, so to speak, about what they were doing.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
And then he smothered somebody, slipped him on in his bed, and then took his papers because he somehow got papers.
Yeah, they said that they believed that he killed a soldier, like you said, or he even just retrieved identification papers because they always had them on them from the battlefields. Because, you know, people were just dying left and right. And just assumed a new identity.
Right. I think it's more of he smothered that person and took it. Because on the battlefield, you're not just, people are going to see, or you're not going to be worried about picking somebody that died.
Yeah,
information. I mean, it could happen.
I mean, yeah,
I mean, how easy would it to be strangle this person?
Yeah.
Take his information
and then
skulk out in the night.
Skulk into the shadows. But yeah, so the dumb thing about this is that Bella Kiss was never found. Like, he gone. Literally, this is how Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego got started. This story here. Because he just left and he was never ever seen again. So
I hope he stubbed his baby toe every day for the rest of his life and got like every single paper cut you can imagine.
Exactly. But there have been many sightings over the years or like around the world. So, you know, he could have been
in plain sight
and probably still would have been killing.
And nobody knows how much. I mean, he got away with it. Obviously, he got away with basically
he got away with murder.
Everything. There's no telling how much his body counts up, because you don't kill that many people and just wash your hands of it. Like, that was fun. That was just a little spell. Like me trying to go vegan or something.
Exactly.
No.
But Chief Nargi, he did not get his man. He went to his grave without catching him.
That's sad.
And that's so sad, because a lot of those people did not get justice at all. And so that to me sucks so bad. But that was such an interesting case.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I'm glad you brought it up, because I've never heard of that one.
It was cool. But
it was cool. Like, thanks for sticking with this if you stuck with this as long.
Exactly.
We will get better, I'm sure. This is our first. Give us
a little bit.
A little leverage.
Yeah, give us a little slack here. You know, this is our first podcast, and so we're just trying to test the waters a little bit, you know.
We love true crime.
Love true crime.
We love true crime. We love things to go bump in the night, spooky ghost stories, urban legends. So there's going to be a little bit of everything sprinkled into this podcast.
Yeah. So I think next week, we're actually going to do a spooky tale. Something like an urban legend. We might find out why I don't eat manwich. You never know. So please, please, please stick with us.
Yeah. We have Twitter. We have Instagram. We'll have everything linked in the description. So I hope y'all enjoyed, and come back, and don't forget to please, please, please leave a review, give us feedback. We have an email that we'll link also somewhere in the description.
Yeah, we've also started an Instagram. I'm currently working on that right now. We do have a email, and so the email will be used for listener tales, like once we really get rolling. But like I said, just please stick with us. We appreciate everything.
Or if you have suggestions, we'll be glad to look into it.
Definitely. Definitely. If you have suggestions on stories, please get with us. Like I said, I don't have the information for our email right now. But listen, we'll get back with you next week. Please, please, please come back. And please love us, okay? Just love us.
We just want love.
Okay, we just want love.
We just want friends. We want to basically have a podcast where we just sit around and talk like we're just friends and everybody enjoy it. So Y'all have a good week, weekend, morning, night, whenever you listen to this in your car, you know, when you're at home trying to ignore your husband or wife or kids.
Right.
You know, get out of this. So y'all have a good night. We'll see y'all later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.